This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. After the violent debacle in Charlottesville, Virginia earlier this year, radical right-wing and fascist organizations and spokespeople had set their sights on the University of California at Berkeley this week. The UC Berkeley campus has been a repeated focus of right-wing Nazi sympathizers several times this year. Alt-right darling Milo Yiannopoulos and patriot prayer organizer Joey Gibson had planned a week of so-called free speech events on the Berkeley campus starting Monday, September 25th. But like some other events, this one fizzled out, although the university shelled out $800,000 in security for Yiannopoulos' 15-minute speech to fewer than 100 people. A campus official called it, quote, the most expensive photo op in the university's history. Meanwhile, hundreds of counter-protesting students and faculty held their Berkeley rally against white supremacy on another part of the campus. My guest is Katrin Wertheim, a professor of mathematics at the University of California, Berkeley, working with a coalition of students and faculty to address white supremacist violence on their campus. Welcome to the program, Katrin.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for taking on this.
Yeah, it's a very interesting issue. We've been following it for a few months now. Let's first talk about what it was that was expected to happen, what the campus officials expected was going to happen this week. Mr. Yiannopoulos and Mr. Gibson and others had promised a week's worth of, a free speech week on this campus. And then I suppose we found out that the organizers hadn't even pulled the proper permits or asked the proper permission to use the campus facilities, right?
That's in part right. There were a lot of smaller events that had permissions or that were given permission. I think you're asking a really good question. Like, what was our administration actually expecting? Like, what are they thinking? And so, in our coalition, we've been calling this speech from the beginning the Fascist Violence Week. And that's still going on. That's going on right now on our campus.
On Monday, September 25th, Mr. Yiannopoulos and I understand Mr. Gibson as well did show up, flanked by security and their supporters. He ended up speaking to some say less than 50 people, others say about 75. And he complained that the university kept hundreds of his supporters and Donald Trump supporters from attending this event on the campus where he was speaking. So what actually happened?
Well, I wasn't there. Judging from what I've heard from people who were there and from previous events, what the university usually does in these situations, in order to keep, protesters pro love and peace on our campus out from Yiannopoulos and Ben Shapiro's and any of these events, the police sets up massive barriers and metal detectors and has a huge list of banned items. And so it takes them a long time to filter people. They then also need to discern, right? Who is a white supremacist that they can safely be let near those speakers and who are liberals or maybe counter-protesters that they need to, filter out. And so,
and it also speaks to the heart of what the idea of free speech is then. If free speech means that you get to have just your supporters on campus, if it means that you kind of get to take over or almost invade a campus at the campus's expense, what does that actually mean?
That is not free speech. Yeah. That is, denying free speech to our students. That's denying free speech to the scholars that were scheduled to be on campus and whose events had to be, canceled.
Right. Other speakers' events had to be canceled.
Yes. The ACLU Student Union had a whole week of our free speech against hate scheduled in the West Crescent. And that got, shut down between lack of funds, police presence that was against prior promises, and then fascist threats that we had no security against. So free speech on this campus is getting shut down systematically right now by, in part, our administration just not understanding what free speech actually is.
So then what happened on Monday, September 25th, at the counter rally? There was the Berkeley rally against white supremacy. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened?
Sure, yes. So that's what I was definitely there and present for. So first off, we had been told by the ACLU student organizers who'd had meetings with the administration and everybody and the police that there was not going to be a police force. That was our request, right? That was our request in order to allow, you know, undocumented students and people of color to feel safer. You know, that's already, it's sad that that has to be the request of campus police, but that was the campus police in order to allow a diverse population to attend. Despite that, there were undercover cops right from the beginning, and with no discernible reason, suddenly we were surrounded by a massive police force. And you know, I don't know why. The one thing they sure didn't do was help us deal with the couple of white supremacist provocateurs who had, you know, infiltrated or had, you know, come to the rally, were, you know, there with videos and were trying to dox people. So I think our security team dealt with them, you know, admirably and, you know, managed.
Were there any arrests?
I don't think so. I don't think we had arrests at the rally.
Now, let's put this, what's happened in Berkeley, and you know, we should say this has happened several times this year where there were actual clashes as well, but let's put it into a national context. So the same time that this was happening in Berkeley, our Attorney General Jeff Sessions spoke at Georgetown University, again, about free speech. And of course, Sessions, you can really say, is the sort of ideological ally of Milo Yiannopoulos and his types. And at that event at Georgetown University on the other side of the country, dozens, maybe over 100 faculty and students off that campus were kept out of that event, were not allowed into an event on their own campus about free speech. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on that.
Well, you know, here, I mean, we tried to have a free speech event and, you know, got zero campus protection, if only intimidation, even by the police, you know, and, you know, protection of the fascists who are here to intimidate and violate our communities. You know, and that is now getting, you know, promoted and directly supported from the White House, right? So, yeah, you might notice my German accent. I know what this is.
Right, you are...
grandmothers, this is fascism. Mm. Right? This is how that works. So none of this is really surprising to me. This is just how the usual fascist psychology develops in a country. And it's just mind-boggling to me that, you know, U.S. liberals and scholars haven't picked that up and haven't, you know, started a call like to say, look, people, this is dangerous, right? And that's, on some level, what we were doing at our rally. You know, we had a number of people speak very clearly to explain to our students and you know, a lot of our community members who don't quite have that background, explain to them what is really happening at this big picture, that this is fascism, and if we don't resist it here with words and just our presence, then it's only going to get harder to resist.
So you're suggesting that the liberal defenders of free speech who say, I disagree with Milo Yiannopoulos, but I agree with his right to speak on the campus, that they need to be the ones convinced that this is too dangerous?
They need to be convinced that this has never been about free speech. Mm. This is not even about Milo or Ben Shapiro or...
And Ben Shapiro, another conservative speaker who spoke on the Berkeley campus on September 14th.
Because as you see, unfortunately, we have very little media coverage at this point because the speakers aren't here. But I can tell you that the militant hordes of white supremacists are on our campus and are, you know, terrorizing our campus.
And when you say they're on your campus, what does that mean? Are they non-students and faculty coming into the Berkeley campus?
Yes.
Or do they have support among students and faculty?
There are maybe 10 Republican students who, you know, put these events on. But the huge number of like up to 200 white supremacists you know, drive in from the Central Valley, fly in from all over the country. Some have flown in from Europe,
wow. right?
Well-known neo-Nazis. So these are almost exclusively outside agitators. They come to our campus to dox people. They come to our campus to violently...
And explain that term doxing. Not everyone might be familiar with
right.
it.
So they, you know, barge into meetings. They try to find out people's identities, you know, and then they, you know, literally sometimes just a little bit of like a picture of somebody at a rally will help them, you know, sort of run that through a database on Facebook or something, and they will find out this person's identity. Then the next thing is they search through Yellow Pages or something. They find out their place of work. They find out where they live. They find out where their parents live, their siblings, their spouses' addresses, their spouses' place of work. And then all of that gets published on these alt-right discussion forums with, like, not so subtle hints like, we should visit them.
Mm. Yeah. And in fact, nationwide, there's been this effort, and for our TV audience, we'll show you some of the posters of professors who have been identified as terrorist supporters and sympathizers, their faces on posters on campuses around the country, in what seems to be a very concerted, coordinated effort across the country.
Yes, that's right. This is the next step in the fascist playbook, is to shut down liberal progressive voices. And I personally, I had the Proud Boys in front of my house in January.
Proud Boys is one of these fascist groups. So you've actually been targeted yourself.
Motorbikes, yes. And I had report yesterday. I had an announced a scheduled office hour. And, you know, I got a report from students who saw, you know, people who looked like Red Elephant doxers at my door, you know, looking for me.
So you risk your personal safety, and others who speak out risk
yes.
their personal safety in speaking out against these fascist groups. Whose responsibility is it to protect you? Is the UC Berkeley campus understanding that they are risking your safety when they encourage or allow these fascists on campus?
No, they don't understand that. Their answer is like, why don't I just stay quiet?
Right.
I think that's the classical fascist playbook there again, right? Authorities telling us that we could be safe by just, you know, complying, right? And honestly, I'm not looking for campus protection, you know? I'm looking for our campus to understand the threat to our students. You know, I'm putting my own skin and my own head out there to raise an issue that is much more dangerous to our undocumented students, to our trans students, to our students of color. You know, I understand very well that these white supremacists can't actually come and physically harm me or kill me. You know, if they did that, we would finally have the headlines that would actually, you know, sort of reduce their support. You know, they can't come in and like actually hurt a mass.
And it was the killing of Heather Heyer in Charlottesville,
right.
Virginia, that brought that gathering to a national awareness.
Right. Yeah, and so I'm hoping that they're smart enough to not actually come for me, right? So really what they're trying to is just to get me afraid, yeah? And I'm sorry, they're failing.
It's know? Amazing that the defenders of, you know, those people who claim they're defending free speech are constantly trying to shut down other people's speech. I mean, we saw that with the Trump attack on NFL players as well, taking a knee during the national anthem, but then, you know, decrying the attacks on free speech. I guess some people's speech is more valuable to them than other people's.
This has never been about
yes.
free speech.
Yeah.
You know, this is the only way in which this has been about free speech has been to, you know, deny scholarly voices who could warn this country of the fascist developments, to deny them their free and unintimidated speech.
Katrin, the campuses of our universities nationwide are becoming battlegrounds for these sorts of clashes for a reason, right? Let's talk about the fact that for a long time, the exploration of intellectualism, of ideas, the free kind of debating of ideas is antithetical to fascism, antithetical to even many tenets of conservatism, which is why conservatives are angry about the fact that liberal thought and progressivism flourishes on campus. I think that's an important point.
Sure, right? They're afraid of facts, right? They're afraid of truth, you know, because they're afraid of people actually doing research on climate change or on, like, you know, police violence on people of color, because it's going to prove that they're wrong. Yeah, so that
ideology seems to thrive in an environment where you have fake news and don't take facts seriously. And conversely, on the campuses of our universities, free exchange of thought to an extent ends up fostering progressive values, which they don't like, which Sessions doesn't like, and Trump doesn't like.
Progressive values are not, I don't know. I mean, truth is truth and false is false. That's not a progressive value. That's just... That's, you know, in mathematics we have truth, right? And there's no religion and no, like, political, you know, shade to it. It's just there are things that are correct and things that are just not correct, right?
So what's in the future now after this fizzled out, very expensive photo op for Milo Yiannopoulos? What is happening for the rest of this week on the Berkeley campus? And what do you expect? Are there more events planned by either the alt-righters, so-called alt-righters, or the anti-fascist organizers?
Well, I can tell you, so right now we have community security lining up to protect our Black student union, who's trying to have their usual Black Wednesday. And, you know, we fear that the Patriot Prayer people are going to march on them and are going to attack them, you know. And again, university police is only available to protect, you know, the fascists, because they claim free speech and our Black students don't actually really want police there, you know. So it's probably going to be ugly on campus again. I can hear the helicopters, you know, because I live not far off campus. There's probably media there just waiting to cover some kind of fight. If the Patriot Prayers people don't get that fight on campus today, they're probably going to attack the Revolution bookstore again that they've been attacking every night, right? So they've been attacking our homeless camps. So we're having a whole lot of fascist or white supremacist violence in our town, on our campus, every day, no matter whether these speakers got canceled or not. And, they're figuring out that they can shut down this campus quite effectively by marching, you know, by just announcing an event. So odds are they're going to keep doing that until our administration comes up with a different response than allowing them and paying hundreds of thousands of dollars every day to, you know, allow fascists on our campus.
Right, at a time when people are struggling to be able to pay fees and tuition, and the universities constantly say they're strapped for cash.
Yeah, a quarter of our students skips meals somewhat regularly because they can't afford them.
Well, Katrina, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and for giving us a perspective that we don't get in the mainstream media about what's been happening in Berkeley. Thanks so much and good luck to you.
Pleasure.
My guest is Katrin Wertheim, a professor of mathematics at University of California, Berkeley, working with a coalition of students and faculty to address white supremacist violence on their campus. We've been discussing this week's fizzled out white supremacist gathering on Berkeley's campus. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.